Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 66 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
We're fortunate not to have had the damage that some of the states around us have.
Flood damage in the Commonwealth has led the governor to declare a state of emergency.
Attorney General Andy Beshear opened Kentucky's price gouging hotline this week.
LGBTQ advocates packed the Capitol Rotunda yesterday.
A campus carry bill is set for its final reading with amendments pending.
A card skimmer was found at a local gas station.
In sports, the 16th region gets a few days rest.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A slight chance of rain possible with a low of 34. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Flood damage in the Commonwealth has led to Governor Matt Bevin declaring a state of emergency for Kentucky. The declaration allows for the state to utilize resources meant to help those affected by flooding. Representative Hal Rogers tells WKYT he supports federal disaster relief along with the rest of Kentucky's congressional delegation.
And I think that will happen, and it certainly is a disaster over the almost the entire state, but especially the east in my district.
Bevin says Kentucky is fortunate to not have sustained damages similar to some surrounding states. Hal Rogers says cleanup will still take quite a bit of time. Officials with Kentucky Emergency Management say water levels will remain high for about a week. So far, 41 counties and 14 cities have declared state of emergencies.
The Kentucky Division of Emergency Management is still actively responding to flooding conditions throughout Kentucky. Since the beginning of February, Kentucky has experienced an abundance of heavy rain, strong wind, flooding, landslides, and mudslides throughout central and eastern Kentucky. Michael Dossett is the director of KYEM. He says county directors and state cabinets are working together to provide relief to flood victims.
But this provides an excellent opportunity to reach out to neighbors, to go across the street. Knock on the door, talk to your neighbor, and ask, do you need anything today or in case of an emergency? So it provides an excellent opportunity to further enhance the preparedness of our state.
Dossett also suggests coming up with a preparedness plan for unseen situations, such as a flood, and practicing it with family members.
Attorney General Andy Beshear opened Kentucky's price gouging hotline this week. According to WYMT, the hotline follows the mass flooding across the southern and eastern part of the state, along with Governor Matt Bevin's statewide emergency declaration. Kentucky state law says retailers and private citizens may not sell certain essential goods and services for more than 10% above the normal price for 15 days following a state of emergency. And that includes food, fuel, housing, and medical supplies. If you're suspicious of price gouging, you should call 888-432-9257 or you can email consumerprotection@ky.gov.
The Kentucky House is set to vote on a bill that would permit utility companies to change how they credit homeowners for the additional energy produced by rooftop solar panels. Detractors of Senate Bill 100 argue it's a deterrent to people who would otherwise invest in solar energy. Andy McDonald is with Earth Tools Incorporated. In the long run, he believes the utility companies are looking to solar power as a source of profit.
But what it appears to me to be is that the utilities want to push out any competition they might possibly have and secure the market for solar to themselves.
Under current legislation, customers get credits for producing extra energy that gets fed back into the grid. Utility companies argue they are losing money under this crediting system. McDonald claims any customer using energy-saving measures become problematic for utility companies.
Lawmakers in a legislative committee advanced a bill yesterday that would exempt government officials from disclosing what kind of tax breaks and other incentives they offer companies to move if the proposal is rejected. House Bill 387 was created after the city of Louisville refused to reveal how much they offered Amazon to move its headquarters. The local newspaper sued and won in an initial court decision. The bill would exempt companies from having to disclose their shareholders or other financial information when accepting state tax breaks. The bill passed the committee by an 11-5 vote, with three lawmakers passing. It's unclear if the bill has enough support to pass. Several Republicans who voted yes in the committee claim they still have doubts and may change their votes once it reaches the full House.
LGBTQ advocates packed the Kentucky Capitol Rotunda to push for a statewide anti-discrimination law and a ban on conversion therapy Tuesday. WUKY's Josh James has more.
We need you to continue to stand and fight with us, and we will continue to stand and fight with you!
The message of the 2019 rally: LGBTQ gains may face headwinds in Washington and Frankfurt, but the cause is steadily gaining ground. Fairness campaign director Chris Hartman said a record number of sponsors have signed on to a statewide law that would bar discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
I think if the House were to vote on fairness, we would have the majority votes. Now, I don't know about the Senate, but we are getting so much closer than we ever were before.
Rallygoers heard from lawmakers, performers, and Heather Green, a Louisville mother whose gender reveal photo shoot for her transgender child went viral this year. But that wasn't the only surprise.
Repeat after me. I, Rebecca.
The rally ended with a pop-up wedding in the rotunda.
And now, everyone, we will celebrate their union, and they will consecrate it with a kiss.
In Frankfurt, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky bourbon producers say they want in on a bill that would allow wineries to ship online and electronic orders straight to the customer's door. Leaders at the Kentucky Distillers Association tell LEX18 the language in Senate Bill 99 does not allow bourbon producers to do the same thing. In its current form, SB 99 would allow for each person to receive up to 24 cases of wine from a seller annually, but bourbon is excluded. The bill passed the Senate earlier this month and is headed for the House of Representatives. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
A campus carry bill is set for its final reading with amendments pending today in the West Virginia House. If passed, the bill will allow anyone with a concealed carry on college campuses, but that excludes stadiums and arenas. Delegate Jim Butler is the sponsor for the bill. He says the Campus Carry Act will make college campus safer.
Currently, if a shooter wants to go in and do a lot of damage, they know that they can go to a gun-free zone knowing that the people can't defend themselves. In this instance, they would know that there's at least a possibility that some of the students and staff members might be armed.
Opponents say the bill will not stop shooters from coming on campus.
The U.S. Congress could give final approval this week on a package of public land bills that includes permanently reauthorizing the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The program uses funds from offshore drilling leases for conservation across the nation, supporting everything from wilderness areas and historic battlefields to city parks. Garrett Rippenhagen with the Vet Voice Foundation says many veterans put a high value on outdoor recreation.
Military veterans use the outdoors to heal from our military trauma, from our experiences on the battlefield. It helps with our post-traumatic stress disorder. And we use the outdoors to bond with our family and friends when we come home from long deployments.
If the bill is not approved, the program and its protections for parks and open spaces could disappear.
Officials say supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits for most participants will be distributed Friday, March 1st. The schedule change shortens the time recipients have to wait for additional SNAP benefits following changes that had to be made last month due to the partial federal government shutdown. According to LEX18, assistance benefits will be loaded to the customer's EBT cards. Participants can use these funds immediately. Officials remind SNAP beneficiaries they will not receive any additional benefits for the month of March.
An internet phone and digital service provider has filed for bankruptcy. Windstream made the announcement yesterday. However, a spokesman for the company tells the Daily Independent customers should see no impact on services in the area. Windstream has received a commitment from Citigroup Global Markets for $1 billion in debtor-in-possession financing. The company and all of its subsidiaries have filed voluntary petitions for reorganization under Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings.
After a rapid increase in overdose deaths, the Portsmouth City Health Department has issued a lethal narcotics alert for the area. In a bad month, health officials say Scioto County sees around 3 overdose deaths, but there have been 6 deaths in the last 3 weeks alone. Abby Spears is with the health department. She tells WSAZ the department believes drugs in the area are being mixed with fentanyl, including stimulants like methamphetamine and cocaine.
While it does increase the risk of fatality, it also increases the market for sales. So much of it is profit driven. Our goal is to just help save lives.
The health department is advising individuals to keep a close eye on friends and family members with drug dependency issues.
Suicide instruction clips were found in another children's show on YouTube Kids. Gray News reports 9-second clip of a man telling children how to self-harm were found hidden in cartoons. The company has since removed the videos and released an apology for not catching them sooner. This new video marks the second in the last year to be found and reported by Free Hess, a mother and pediatrician. On her Petty Mom website, Hess encourages parents to closely monitor what their children watch.
A former Greenup County teacher accused of dragging an autistic child down through school hallways has been offered a plea bargain. According to the Daily Independent, Trina Abrams was offered a plea deal at a pretrial conference last week with a maximum penalty of a year behind bars. Greenup District Judge Brian McLeod scheduled a second pretrial conference for May 8th, and a modified plea offer may be on the agenda, with the victim's mother attending. Abrams was the school's resource teacher and was responsible for adherence to the boys' individualized education program. She was fired from the district and remains free on the condition she not teach or work in a school.
A card skimmer was found in a local gas station. WMKY's Tandy Wallingford has a story.
Mount Sterling Police posted pictures on its Facebook page of a card skimmer that was found in a local gas station. Skimmers are used to obtain credit or debit card information. They are placed inside the credit card pumps, and police advise the public to be very cautious and pay attention to the pumps before you swipe your card. According to WKYT, the skimmer was found by police before anyone's information was compromised. Officials are asking the public to make sure pumps have stickers showing they have been inspected. Suspicious pumps can be reported by calling Montgomery County Dispatch. For WMKY News, I'm Tandy Wallingford.
Martin City Police arrested a man in downtown Martin today, Monday, after smelling marijuana coming from the car he was in. Officers arrested Tyler Conley from Garrett, Kentucky. While searching the vehicle, police found 100 THC cartridges. WYMT reports the cartridges are worth nearly $5,000. Police charged Conley with trafficking in marijuana. He was taken to the Floyd County Jail. Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a slight chance of rain possible with a low of 34. Thursday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 44. Thursday night, a 40% chance of rain with a low around 33. Friday, slight chance of rain possible, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. Friday night, a 30% chance of rain with a low around 38. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Lexington, it's 65. In Mount Sterling, it's 64. In Inez, it's 68. In Grayson, it's 67. In Ashland, it's 67. In Maysville, it's 65. In Flemingsburg, it's 65. And here in Moorhead, it's 66 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the Cave Run Lake chapter of the Sheltowee Trace Association has announced the rerouting of a portion of Kentucky's longest trail. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
The Sheltowee Trace Association is a group of volunteers that maintains the trail and promotes its use. The Cave Run Lake chapter of the association maintains the portion of the trail throughout Rowan, Bath, and Menifee counties, which stretches 68 miles. The full trail is 323 miles long and extends to the Big South Fork area in northern Tennessee. The CRLC believes the rerouting of this trail will improve the safety and aesthetic experience of the part of the trail that borders Cave Run Lake. CRLC member Lucy Pryor says the group helps to keep the trail safe, clear, and easily accessible.
We cut back briars and cut down trees when we can with our handsaws, and work a lot with the Forest Service in all this process. We also shuttle people when people want to hike, and so we could take them to the beginning or their end, or pick them up at the end so they don't have to, shuttle themselves.
According to maintenance team leader Doug Dorfield, the chapter does a wide variety of trail maintenance, from working on erosion issues to cleaning up brush and briars. He says there are over 100 volunteers on the trail maintenance list that help with these efforts.
On any given first Saturday, we'll usually get between 6 and 14 or 15 that'll go out, and we have tools that we supply them with, and we take them out in the different locations and work on a trail.
Dorfield says the chapter has been working with the United States Forest Service for approximately a year to get approval for the reroute.
The project would take the trail for about a third of a mile from north of 801 across from their district ranger's office and bring it across 801 and bring it right up along Cave Run Lake.
The purpose of the reroute is to reestablish the area of the trail that is nearest the lake.
The section of the trail north of 801 has become really marshy, and it's a lot of erosion going on where it goes down into a creek and comes up.
The chapter just gained approval to bring in volunteers on Saturday, March 2nd, to reestablish that section of the trail, where about 200 feet of trail will be cut for the project. Dorfield says the area where the trail is currently is very dangerous due to the cars that speed around that section of 801. The reroute will create a much safer crossing. Dorfield says there are many beautiful sights to see, especially on that portion of the trail.
There's a little bench that's just above the High Banks area, so there's views all the way along, almost a quarter of a mile, directly down into the lake, and you can see the dam, and you can see sunsets there probably too. So really it's going to be one of the most beautiful sections of the trail in our three-county chapter area.
According to Pryor, however, the lake is not the only beautiful sight hikers will experience on the Sheltowee Trace.
You're on top of ridges, and you've got beautiful views, especially this time of year. Then we cross through the university, and so that's kind of fun to come down the hill and around Eagle Lake. And then you go downtown Moorhead until you get to Clearfield, and then you're going to be passing Ambergy Rock, and then you get to the lake, limestone too, because that's the highest point in Round County.
The chapter is welcoming any volunteers who would like to participate on March 2nd and will provide training, tools, and equipment as needed. To sign up, contact the Cave Run Lake chapter at crlc@sheltowee.org. For WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
It's 4:49 and 66 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya Andueza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Haley Stidham has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The 16th briefing gets a few days of rest. For WMKY Sports, I'm Haley Stidham. The Lady Vikings are preparing for the first round of regional play on Saturday. Round will face off with West Carter Saturday afternoon. The ladies fell to Menifee in the 61st District Championship game. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team has one big thing to work on before Saturday.
When it just comes down to shooting, there's not a whole lot you can do but just get back to the gym and keep shooting the basketball. We got a week off till a regional tournament, and so we're going to have to get a lot of shots up during that week so we don't have another game like that.
Tip-off in Morehead State University's Johnson Arena is set for 2 p.m. The Round County boys basketball team is back in the gym today. The Vikings took down West Carter in the first round of the regional tournament on Tuesday night, 53-42. Head coach Sean Thacker says right after the win, his team was already thinking about the next matchup.
Most of them stayed last night, and they came up, and they were already talking about the next game. And during the double overtime game, who would you rather play? And it didn't matter. It was going to play out how it was going to play out, and we'll play who we're going to play. How those kids are, is there a better matchup for us? But, they were already thinking about Friday night.
The Vikings will face off with Boyd County in the semifinal round on Friday. Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 8 p.m. As the Morehead State men's basketball team wraps up their season this week, they'll also be saying goodbye to two members of the squad. Tomorrow night's matchup with Murray State is senior night for the Eagles. Head coach Preston Spradlin says he'll be honoring a couple more guys than last year.
Last season had no seniors on our roster, so there essentially was no senior night. Two seasons ago, my interim season, we were blessed enough to have six seniors, and all of which went on to graduate and earn their degrees here from Morehead State and had good careers and good senior experiences. And so very much the same here with LaMontre and AJ.
Tip-off for senior night will be at 7:35 p.m. The Morehead State women's basketball team has six seniors to honor during Thursday night's ceremonies. Among those being honored are Darane Seward, Tierra McGowan, Georgia Campbell, and Mackenzie Calvert. Head coach Greg Todd says they'll be tough to replace.
We have Crystal Simmons, who our best defensive player. We feel like she may be the Ohio Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year. And then last but not least is Miranda Crockett, who's third all-time leading scorer in the history of the school and has been a big part of our last three 20-win seasons.
Tip-off for the women's game is set for 5:05 tomorrow. One of the Morehead State University's women's golf team is receiving some high marks from the OVC. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
Redshirt sophomore Bridget Conley has claimed Co-Ohio Valley Conference Golfer of the Week honors, splitting with Jacksonville State's Paula Vega to give the program its 39th all-time Golfer of the Week. Conley secured her second top five finish of the season at the Amelia Island Collegiate, tying for fourth in a loaded field. The finish also marked the Auckland, New Zealand native's fifth top 10 finish of the season, a mark that tops the squad. This is the 11th straight season Morehead State has secured an OVC Golfer of the Week award. Conley and the Eagles return to the course, hosting the MSU Citrus Challenge on March 17th. The three-day event will take place at the Red Tail Golf Club in Sorrento, Florida. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
As spring training continues, the Cincinnati Reds are working to lock in their pitching staff. Brandon Finnegan made his second appearance of the spring yesterday, throwing a perfect first inning in the Reds' 4-3 loss to the Giants at Goodyear Ballpark. He tells Reds.com he felt a lot better about his outgoing.
First time I had a lot of jitters out. Just kind of want to get out of the way. Didn't go that well, but kind of took it as a learning process and took off this and had a lot of talks with Barry Larkin and a lot of players, and they helped me out with a lot of things. So I felt a lot better going into this one.
Finnegan is coming off a pair of a tough season. He was limited to 13 innings over four starts in 2017 due to injuries and was moved to AAA in 2018. And finally, in sports this afternoon, former Cincinnati Bengals defensive back Adam Pacman-Jones was arrested early Wednesday at the Southern Indiana Casino. Fox 19 reports Jones was arrested at Rising Star Casino in Rising Sun. He is being held on charges of public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and intimidation. Details about the events leading to Jones' arrest were not released. Questions are being referred to the Indiana State Gaming Commission. For WMKY Sports, I'm Haley Stidham.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Murray State tomorrow night for their final regular season home game. The women begin at 5:05 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials and S&P both fell for a second day in a row as investors grappled with key testimonies on U.S.-China trade relations, Federal Reserve monetary policy, as well as a host of geopolitical issues. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 72.82 at 25,985.16. The S&P 500 was down 1.52 at 2792.38. And the NASDAQ Composite actually managed a small gain of 5.21 at 7554.51. Stocks fell to their session lows as U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer hinted that a trade deal is not yet certain, saying that any agreement would need to be more than just additional purchases by China. However, Lighthizer reportedly told the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. is working to formally abandon plans to hike tariffs on Chinese goods as long as talks continue. This is the clearest sign that a deal between the two countries could come soon. In geopolitical news, Pakistan said it shot down two Indian jets and carried out airstrikes in Kashmir. And also a summit between Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un got underway in Hanoi in Vietnam today. And also shares of Lowe's climbed 2.5% after releasing their quarterly results. The company also noted that the U.S. economy remains, quote, sound. And GE was a big winner, up 2.1%, after an analyst said in a note that liabilities from GE's capital insurance business are likely contained. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.7%, finishing at $56.98 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,321.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down modestly, with the Stock 600 index down 0.3%. In Asia, markets were mixed. The Nikkei was up 0.5%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down less than 0.1%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Caterpillar. The worst performers were United Health Group and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Best Buy and Campbell Soup. And the worst performers were Mylan and United Health Group. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank, up 35 cents at $27.81. Marathon Petroleum down $1.20 at $63.39. AEP up 21 cents at $80.63. AK Steel down 5 cents at $3.12. Kroger up 88 cents at $29.80. And Humana was down $14.39, finishing at $287.96. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Moorhead State University, Moorhead Conference Center, and St. Clair Healthcare, the City of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Moorhead can be reached at 606-784-8505, Facebook, and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Cody Robinson, Haley Stidham, Keneally Roberts, Tandy Wallingford, Cassidy Stearman, Shawmarie Mosley, Nacogdoches Miller, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Kenzie Thompson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202 BHNINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya and Dweza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's